Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Welcome to the Lord's house on this eighth day of our 50-day celebration of Jesus' resurrection. Jesus says, do not be afraid, because he is the keeper of the keys. You might notice I'm fighting I'm fighting some allergies this morning. So there may be, I may speak some parts of the service that I would ordinarily chant. We'll see how it goes. Sunday school today, we're learning what Jesus' resurrection means for us from John chapter 20. Midweek Bible studies continue Wednesday at 10 a.m. at Cedar Trails and at 7:15 p.m. here at church. Voters Assembly is next Sunday at 10:30 a.m. The youth will be serving a Cinco de Mayo luncheon also next Sunday. You can eat during the Voters Assembly meeting if you would like, or you can eat later if you prefer. In our prayers today, we remember not only those who are listed in the bulletin, but also Ray and Morgan Miller, who were married yesterday. Ray is Jerry and Connie's son. And we ask God's blessing on their married life together. Any other announcements that need to be made? Robin?
We would like to try to get a group picture of our charter members of the church. We've got a list here. I'm not going to read them all. You guys know who you are. But if we can get a hold of them, and I'll take that next Sunday, because there are some people coming here that we didn't know. So stick around after service real quick next Sunday, and I'll take that group picture.
Excellent. Other announcements? Greet one another in the peace of the Lord. Thank you. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being, for the peace from above, and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Today's first reading is from the book of Acts, the fifth chapter. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them in cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall upon some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they're all healed. For the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is, the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We now continue with Psalm 148, preprinted in the bulletin. Pray. The second reading is from the book of Revelation, the first chapter. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace to you and peace from the one who is, and who was, and who is coming, from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the one who rules with kings of the earth. To the one who loves us and has freed us from our sins in his blood, who made us a kingdom, priests for his God and Father. To him be glory, empowered into eternity. Amen. Look, he comes with all the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. I am the Alpha and Omega, says the Lord, the God, the one who is, and who was, and who is coming, the Almighty. I, John, your brother who shares in the tribulation and the kingdom and endurance in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos. I was there because the word of God and testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard before me a loud voice, like a trumpet, saying, what you see, write in a scroll and send the seven churches to Ephesus, to Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven gold lampstands. In the middle of the lampstands, I saw the one like the Son of Man, clothed in a robe reaching to his feet, and girded with a golden sash across his chest. His head and hair were white, as wool, white wool, white as snow, and refined in a furnace. His voice was like the sound of many waters. He held seven stars in his right hand, and from his mouth came a sharp, two-edged sword. His face shines like the sun at full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he placed his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I'm the first and the last, the living one. I was dead, but look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciple told him, we've seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand, place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We sing hymn number 470, verses 4 through 9. You may be seated. That calls for our attention as we continue to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord as the second reading for this day, especially the last verse of that reading from Revelation chapter 1. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen Lord, Jesus Christ. So the Greeks named the god of their underworld Hades. They pictured him with a key because they figured once you had died, he locked you in and he wasn't going to let you out of your grave. Of course, that's mythology. It's make-believe. I'm reminded of Fred Precht had a a book in his library. I'm guessing it was from his prep school days. It was a mythology text, and on the side of it, it said, "In case of fire, throw this in." That's all religious fiction, figments of some ancient imaginations, but Revelation tells us that there is a real keeper of the keys, someone who really does control, who goes into the grave, and just as importantly, who comes out of the grave. And the real keeper of the keys is not Hades. Easter proves it. The keeper of the keys unlocked the door of death from the inside, and he walked out alive. And he is the one who says to you and to me, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, the living one. I was dead, but look, I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." Do you hear the first words out of his mouth there? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, dear Christians, of death. Logic says you ought to fear dying. They're going to lower your coffin into the grave. They're going to toss dirt on top of it. And there's nothing you can do to reverse the process. Oh, there have been people who have been declared dead and come back to life. Some of them talk about seeing a light and walking toward it. Or they talk about being in the upper corner of the operating room as if they were looking down on the doctors trying to save their lives. But all those people who've gone through near-death experiences, not a one of them says that they revived themselves. Some of them will credit the doctors, some of them will credit luck, some of them will credit God, but none of them say, "Oh, I brought myself back to life." Even atheists understand we don't have a key that can unlock our grave. And you know that if Satan is the keeper of the keys, well, you can bet your eternity he is not going to be opening the grave for you once you're in it. He thought he had stolen the keys from our Lord Jesus when our Lord bowed his head, gave up his spirit as payment for your sins and mine. They put Jesus in the tomb, and Satan had absolutely no intention of letting him out. Neither did Pilate, neither did the Jewish authorities. They locked Jesus in, they sealed the sepulcher, they guarded the grave, and then Jesus did what no human before or since has done. He descended into hell, declared his victory, and then, as best as I can tell, walked through the stone walls of that tomb, alive again, the keeper of the keys. This is no Harry Houdini illusion. This is no David Copperfield sleight of hand. It wasn't as if Jesus was having a near-death experience, walking toward the light, but never actually quite getting to it. John says they stabbed him, and he himself saw the blood and the water pour out. He was dead. The soldiers made sure he was dead before they decided not to break his legs. And notice where the apostles go to preach the resurrection. Not to some distant land where there'd be no one to refute their testimony. They preached it right there in Jerusalem, where the grave guards and the eyewitnesses would have been quick to correct anything that they said that was wrong. Jesus died a real death to redeem you. He rose a real resurrection to prove that he is the keeper of the keys, with the promise that he not only will unlock his grave, but your grave as well. This is why Kenneth Funk could go to his death this past week in peace. It is why Larry and his family can grieve, but not as those who have no hope. You know the power of the resurrection, the same truth that Kenneth knew. You have been baptized into the death and the resurrection of the keeper of the keys. Death might hold you for a little while your body is waiting in the grave to be reunited with your spirit that's with the Lord. but you know that day is coming. It's only temporary. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even if he dies. So do not fear death. The risen keeper of the keys promises to open up your grave. And do not be afraid of facing your maker. Judgment day ought to be the thing that if we don't have Jesus, we fear most in this life. But you have Jesus. All the same, do not act as if disobeying God's commandments is some small thing. You have been given life. Do not walk back to the sin that caused death. But a lot of us do try to fight against sin. Problem is, we don't always conquer it. And we recognize how we failed our Lord, and we feel guilt inside. This is why our Lord has given to his church the keys that he keeps. They're his, but he has bestowed them on the church. During the Easter season, it is common in some churches to omit confession and absolution during the Easter season. We're doing that this year. There's two reasons for that. One, to remind us, I'm talking about corporate confession and absolution at the beginning of the service. There's two reasons for that. One is to remind us that it is not our confession, but God's forgiveness, Jesus' death and resurrection, that end up giving us life. But there's a second reason, that is to remind us that confession and absolution were never originally intended to be primarily a corporate event. They're intended to be and were used in the church as an individual event between you and your maker with another Christian serving as the spokesman for God. That's the way they were used. Confession, absolution, the office of the keys was used for 18 centuries in the church. So when Jesus, the keeper of the keys, gives the keys to his church, he does not say, if you forgive the sins of all, they are forgiven. He says, if you forgive the sins of any, those sins are forgiven, as though it's a one-on-one thing. When you're feeling guilt, go to your Lord by going to your pastor. I go to my pastor even when I'm not feeling guilt, because I know I'm guilty whether I feel it or not. What is the office of the keys? It is that special authority that Christ has given to his church on earth to forgive the sins of those who repent, but to withhold forgiveness from those who do not repent as long as they don't repent. Confess, and I'm talking about individual confession and absolution, confess because you know that your guilt has been taken by Jesus. Isaiah 53 says it. The Lord has made him a guilt offering. In other words, he's declared guilty, which means you are innocent. So if you go to confession, and the keeper of the key says, I forgive you all your sins, and you're still feeling guilt inside, what do you do? Well, first of all, recognize this is phantom guilt. Kind of like there's phantom pain, this is phantom guilt. Which is to say, Jesus has taken your guilt. There is no reason for you to feel it. But those who have a phantom pain, there's no physiological reason for it, but that doesn't make it any less real to them. Doesn't make guilt any less real to you when you're feeling it inside. So what do? Well, there's a treatment for phantom pain. There's also a treatment for phantom guilt. Go back to your pastor, another Christian. Talk to them about what you're feeling. Go through confession and absolution again. Do recognize that the treatment for phantom guilt, like the treatment for phantom pain, will not always work the very first time. Be patient. That shouldn't keep you from going through the treatment. But most of all, I want you to know that in God's courtroom, your guilt is gone, no matter how much guilt you might feel in your heart, because Jesus has taken it. This is why you do not have to fear facing your maker. Do not fear death. Do not be afraid of facing your Maker, and do not be afraid of being your Lord's representative. As the Father sent me, Jesus says, I am sending you. He sends his church out into the world to speak his forgiveness, but some people don't want to hear that forgiveness. He sends his church out into the world to do good, but some people still want evil. And therefore, as you go about your work as a Christian, you can expect some backlash. Maybe you heard a few years, I'm going to guess it was maybe 2 years ago, Pastor Ernst's vestments were desecrated in Venezuela by robbers in his house. People didn't like the message of Christianity. Churches are being burned around the world. I'm not talking about Notre Dame. That was an accident. I'm talking about people who, because of their hatred for Christianity, are burning churches. 345 Christians per month are being put to death around the world. Did you catch that? 345, that's more than 10 a day, who are dying for their faith. And it is not just abroad. A ninth grader wore a cross necklace into her Florida classroom. Her teacher told her and two other girls who were wearing cross necklaces to take them off because that was disrespectful. She went so far as to say that the cross is a gang symbol. I have a feeling that that teacher saw the cross and it reminded her of her own failures in life. Would that she had understood that the cross is the answer for our guilt, not the cause of our guilt. But she persecuted Christians. There are Christians in Washington, in Oregon, in New Mexico, in Colorado, even in the Midwest, in Iowa, who have been jailed, fined, or lost their businesses because they couldn't in good conscience provide services from their business for a gay marriage. And folks, unless something changes fast, it's going to get worse long before it gets better. It's going to get harder and harder to live out your faith in the public square. This should not be a surprise. The keeper of the keys said, in this world you should expect tribulation. Where was John when he wrote the words of our text? Exiled on Patmos for preaching the gospel. To whom was he writing? People in seven churches who were struggling to live out their Christian life. The Christians in Smyrna were persecuted like we would expect to be persecuted. The Christians in Pergamum were compromising with the culture like we're so often tempted to do so that we don't make waves. The Christians in Thyatira were putting up with false teachings like we tend to do because we don't want to make waves. The Christians in Sardis weren't even trying to change their sinful behavior. Sometimes we do that because we know forgiveness is free, so we say, what's it matter if I keep on sinning? The Christians in Philadelphia were absolutely exhausted from trying to do their Father's will, which happens to us when we are faithful to our Lord. And the Christians in Laodicea were half-hearted in their commitment to God. Kind of like we tend to get in America, maybe because we don't have to stand up for our faith very often, but the day is coming when we're going to have a choice between either standing with Jesus and getting persecuted or denying Jesus and getting along with the world. It is no wonder we are afraid to be God's representatives in this world. How come the disciples weren't afraid? In that first reading today, they knew very well they were going to be punished, and they kept preaching about Jesus anyway. The chief priest threw them in prison. An angel got them out of prison. And what did they do? Go hide from the authorities so they wouldn't be persecuted again? No, just the opposite. They went to the most public place of all, the temple, and they kept preaching about the life that only Jesus can give. Why weren't they afraid? Well, they were afraid. You remember these are the guys who had fled in fear when the mob came to arrest Jesus. And I suspect there was still a little bit of trepidation on their parts even after the resurrection. Maybe they were shaking in their sandals as they were preaching. But they did it anyway because they knew what we know. That the keeper of the keys has risen from the dead. So what happens if the authorities, what's the worst the authorities can do to them? Kill them? They'll come back to life. Persecute them? That is only temporary. The keeper of the keys gives to us life that is eternal. And he says, do not be afraid. I have died for you. I have risen for you. I have baptized you. I feed you with my body and my blood. I am with you, so stand firm. Do not be afraid to speak about me. Do not compromise with the culture, with false teachings that would lead people astray about what I have done for you. And when you feel too weak to live out your Christian life, remember that it is the one who was dead but is now living who is giving to you his strength. Don't let your faith be seen only on Sunday mornings. Let it be seen every single day in the way that you do your job, the way that you love your husband, your wife, your children, your parents. The way that you give to people in need, the way you forgive as you have been forgiven, the way you stand firm for what is right, no matter what the consequences. Do not be afraid, dear Christians. Do not be afraid of death. Do not be afraid of facing your Maker. Do not be afraid of being your Lord's representatives in this world because you do not have a dead Savior. You have a living Savior, one who unlocked the grave from the inside and came out again, one who promises that he will unbolt your grave and fling wide open the doors of heaven for you. There is a keeper of the keys. His name is not Hades. His name is Jesus. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. We stand for the Nicene Creed, page 158. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Lord of life, work among your people and pastors, so that your message of both condemnation and forgiveness, of both death and life, is faithfully proclaimed. With those keys, open and shut the door to heaven according to the need of each of us sinners. We pray especially for your people of St. Mark, Zion, Emmanuel, and Redeemer congregations. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of life, because you have unlocked heaven's gate for us by Christ's resurrection, give to us the repentant hearts that confess our sins that lead to death, and that joyfully receive Christ's forgiveness that leads to hope, that leads to life. Then, as you enable the apostles to speak as your representatives, remove our fear and give us boldness to tell the people in our lives about Christ's forgiveness and resurrection. Lord, in your mercy,
Hear our prayer.
Lord of life, guide those who hold positions of authority to act according to your will, to defend life, to uphold your plan for marriage, and to work for the true good for all people, so that our society functions as you intend, and remove from office those who work for evil or from selfish motives. Watch over those in the military and their families, and bring Easter peace to our troubled world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of life, care for those who are mourning and for those who are suffering from mental and physical afflictions. Especially we pray for Larry's family as they grieve, and for Gertrude, Nina, Sharon, Don, Matt, Tara, Steve, Barb, Devin, Sherry, Kathy, Ellis, Bill, Mel, Jeanette, and Taylor. Comfort them with Christ's resurrection so that they do not fear life or death. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of life, renew Caleb and all of us in baptismal faith. Use Christ's keys to turn us to repentance and assure us a pardon. Fill the lives of Will and Annette, Ray and Morgan, and all whom you have joined in marriage with a constant love and commitment to each other that flows from your love and commitment to us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of life, receive the gifts we bring to you from what you have entrusted to us. Use our offerings to bring dead hearts to life in Jesus, and use them to care for people in need. Give us grateful and generous hearts, because you have unlocked the grave and opened the doors of heaven to us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of life, work in the lives of all of us who receive the risen Lord's Holy Supper today. Bring us to your altar with repentant faith and that hungers for Christ's body and blood, that trusts your promise of forgiveness and life, and that is not afraid of death, of guilt, or of living for you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of life, receive our thanks for the gift of resurrection life that you granted to your servant Kenneth and to all who have lived and died trusting your promises. Enable us also to remain faithful until death so that we receive your crown of life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend for all whom we pray, trusting your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. We stand for the offertory, page 159. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us.
keeper of the keys has given to you his body and his blood. Do not be afraid. Go in peace. Amen. Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into flesh. We thank you for that for his sake you have given us the pardon and peace in the sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.